Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, earlier in the show, we were talking about the amount of people publicly smoking weed and the smell of it in towns and cities across the country. Huge reaction to this today. Clement got in contact. He told me he was recently back from a trip to Vancouver in Canada, and he said he'd be worried about what legalising drugs could do here.
What he saw there would put the hair standing on the back of your neck. They've allowed open use of fentanyl and crack cocaine. And there's streets and streets in these tastings in Vancouver lined with hundreds. I'm not exaggerating, Andrea. It's just unbelievable. The sight and the smell of it will not leave me. Walking Dead, these are people, and you look at them and they're dead and their eyes are dead. They're hurled over. They're bent at 90 degrees. Absolute human misery. Do you know, and I'm saying, oh my God, it's just, you know, are we on a slippery slope? You know, you allow one thing and you allow the next thing.
He painted a fairly grim picture, I have to say, of what he witnessed in Vancouver. Worth listening back to Clement and some of the other callers today in the show about this, actually. The podcast is up. It's on the News Talk app, or you can just subscribe there, very simply, to Lunchtime Live. Now, 116123, that is a number that I give out very frequently here on this show. It's the 24/7 helpline number for the Samaritans. But I'm joined in studio today by Mary McMahon, who is the volunteer director of Dublin Samaritans, also a volunteer with the organisation for over two decades, and Paul Murphy, better known as the phone box man, but a former Samaritans service user. Thanks a million to you both.
Thank you.
Yeah, for having us in. Coming in today. Mary, you might just explain, I suppose, what happens behind the scenes at the Samaritans helpline number.
So I suppose when you join as a volunteer, our commitment that we ask people to do is a 3-hour, we call it a duty, which is answering the phones once a week for 3 hours. That's the commitment we ask people to make. So you come in and we all have to go into our branch in Marlborough Street, is the Dublin branch. You come in there and you do your shift there, your duty there. There's other volunteers with you, and we answer the phones as they ring, and they ring quite often. Like, we answer, I think, a call every 61 seconds. So when you're there for 3 hours, it's constant. Like, it's really, really busy. And there's great support with the other volunteers that are there. It's obviously confidential, but you can talk to your fellow Samaritan volunteers whilst you're in the branch. And we have people who support you after if you've had a difficult call or things that you find difficult. And that's really it. Like, that's what we ask people to do. It sounds like a lot, but it's not. If you fit it into your weekly life, I do. And that's how we all manage it, I think, as well, which is great.
Yeah, I suppose it is a big commitment for you and Paul and many others, though, to do for the length of period that you've both been doing it, Paul.
I'm actually not a volunteer. I volunteer with the phone box. I got a phone call 2 years ago from one of the, Alwyn, one of the volunteers in Samaritans, and she was asking me, she had a dream of having the phone box for the Garden Bloom Festival, and she told me what she wanted. She wanted a phone box, and in the centre of a garden with Quilter, we're doing a deal to want the trees around it. And when she finished her whole talk, I says, "You're not going to believe it, Alwyn. I actually rang the Samaritans myself a good number of years ago, and it was probably about 30 years prior to that. And it had come full circle now, and I was delighted then to be able to help the Samaritans with the phone box. So that's, it just came full circle.
Yeah, that's the thing. It has, I suppose. You're working with them in a different way, I suppose, now in a volunteer capacity. Yeah. And, like, is there much demand, Mary, for people who want to get involved? Like, is it a struggle to get volunteers?
I'd say, like, Dublin is quite a big branch, and we're very lucky that we get a lot of people who apply. But a lot of our branches around the country Dublin's always looking for volunteers, and we're always looking for volunteers. Dublin trains maybe 3 lots of volunteers a year, and that could be 25 people. And we still need more volunteers because we're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We need somebody there answering the phone. You know, if people are ringing us and they can't get through, that's not good. What we want is volunteers to be there to answer the phone. And all of our branches are always looking for volunteers. And never stress it enough that we're always taking in new people, because it is really busy. The more people we have, the more phones the more calls we answer, and the more people who can get through to us. So it's really important. If anybody was interested in volunteering, they can look up the website.
You're always looking for people.
They can. Yeah.
Is there a certain criteria or characteristics that you look for in people?
Not really. I suppose, like, obviously you have to be over 18. That's the first thing anyway. But yeah, we kind of look for somebody who'd be a good listener. And, you know, you go through, like, the training is quite intensive that you do. And it really puts you through your paces to understand the types of calls we might get. How would you be able to deal with them? Will you be okay? Because it's important that we're able to look after ourselves as well as the people who call us. And I think it's not a particular type of person. It's somebody who's empathetic and who listens to somebody. We don't give advice. We don't judge people. You know, we don't tell people what to do. And I think for me, I find that a lot easier actually as a volunteer, yeah, that I don't have to have the answer at the other end of the phone. Like, and it's about listening to people. So yeah, we need that.
Paul, tell us a little bit about what it's like, I suppose, being on the other end of that call. And you know, for a lot of people, I'm sure, listening today, it's probably very difficult often to just pick up that phone.
Absolutely. And I think when people get to the stage where they need to ring the Samaritans, they probably have a couple of choices there. And some of them aren't nice, and some of them aren't the ones you want to go. So if they pick the Samaritans when they can't speak to family or friends, and they pick up that phone and call the Samaritans, I think that's when they're choosing to do something about it and to speak to someone. And I think that's the other options are not good. They're not good. So I think it's great to know that Samaritans are there. And they were there for me.
Yeah.
I think it's probably 30 years ago.
Why did you decide to pick up the phone that day?
I was just at a low ebb. There were things happening in my life that had brought me down, and I just needed someone to talk to.
Yeah.
And I got someone with the Samaritans, and it was great.
That's what you got, as Mary says.
And from there, I went on and I got some more self-help and I moved on, and it was lovely. It's lovely to be able to help them out now. You know?
Did you use the service, do you mind me asking, for long?
No, just one phone call.
Just
one phone call. But I mean, that's all it takes if someone's in trouble. I think I'm sure the service is used by numerous times by people, some people, but it was just one phone call for me at that time of where I was low. Mm. And it did the trick.
Do you know that, Mary, like, do people, other, you know, I suppose, I don't want to say regular callers, but people who would call frequently, or...
That would be, like, we would have people, as Paul said, like, that maybe would only call us once and they feel that that's given them something to help them maybe move forward, what else they want to do.
Yeah.
And then we would have people who would ring us maybe numerous times whilst they're going through a difficult time, maybe over a certain period that things are very difficult for them, and that they would like to talk to us. And we do encourage people, if they would like to call us back whilst they're having a difficult time, that we are there to listen and to be there if they need us.
Mm.
So it's a bit of both. You could get both, yeah.
I often wonder, and you know, we always say there's sort of the 2 degrees of separation in Ireland. Do volunteers ever recognise or know somebody that is called?
Well, I'm there 22 years in Dublin working as a volunteer, and I've never recognised anybody who's rang. And I don't know, because we only give our first name on the phone, and we only ask people their first name. So we don't see numbers that come in. We don't see any of that because it's all confidential. So I don't know anybody who's ever recognized anybody.
And
my time in the branch in Dublin, and maybe other people, maybe in smaller branches, maybe, you know, around the country, it could be a bit different. But the 116123 number can get to any branch. So if you're in a local area that you're worried about getting your neighbour down the road, if you get that, you could end up getting Dublin, you could end up getting Waterford, you know, it could be a different branch. So I suppose people, maybe once they realise that they can ring and they get through to anybody, maybe they might feel more comfortable calling us.
Somebody wondering too, and I know you mentioned this, Mary, about whether it's giving advice or listening, but I suppose from your perspective, Paul, it's often just that. It's just the kind of the open ear at the end of the line. And
yeah, well, I think it's when if you feel that there's something that you can't talk to friends or family, and obviously the ideal situation is to talk to someone you know.
Yeah.
But if you feel that things are so bad, you can't, it's just have someone to talk to. And that's sometimes is all you need, is someone to talk to.
Listener is wondering, Mary, like, what happens if one of your volunteers or you have a really tough phone call? How do you go back to normal afterwards? Like, it must be incredibly difficult.
We have lots of support within the Samaritans. As I said, everything is confidential within Samaritans. So as you're never on duty, as I call it, on your own, there's always at least one other volunteer. I do evening duty, so there's probably about 5 or 6 of us. And there's what we call a leader, who's also a volunteer with us, and they look after you on shift throughout the day. And there's one on throughout the night as well. And they're always there to talk to if you have have a difficult time because you can't obviously talk about it when you go home, but they will check on you the next day or they might check on you 2 days later again. So there's always people that will make sure you're okay because it can be quite difficult. You can hear things that are very difficult. And you know, you need to mind yourself as volunteers. We need to look out for each other and support each other too.
It must be hard to unwind, is it, sometimes after a shift yourself?
It can be, yeah. I find when I go home, I need to either watch the television or read a book or something and then chill like at that stage. But it can be difficult. But again, I said, it's important that as volunteers, we talk about the calls that we've had before we leave the branches, you know, that you talk to somebody else so that you're not worried about it when you go home then.
The restoration of the antique phone box, is something you enjoyed?
I love it. I love it. I spent my career in the electronic security industry.
Ah, okay.
Cameras and put the first system into Crow Park when the stadium was built. And the whole corporate life I did not enjoy. But about 6 or 8 years ago, I restored a phone box while I was out sick with depression. I was out of work and I restored. I said to ask my wife, would she mind me spending €1,000 on an old broken up old phone box? It's an undone deal.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it'll keep you busy. So I did it and they've changed my life completely because I've met so many interesting people. And I've one going off to Achill Island this afternoon. I have to load it up. And they're going, one went to London there a few months ago to a builder.
Brilliant.
A shower in it for a swimming pool. So they just, there's a different story to everyone. And you meet so many people. It's lovely.
That's lovely. And I'm sure for you, just, you know, personally as well, Paul, just I suppose, as you described it earlier, the kind of the full circle moment or the giving back. Is that
maybe? No, I got emotional in that phone call to Alwyn, who had called about the Garden Festival. And it's lovely to be able to say, listen, you helped me and I'd love to go on that journey, which is a phone box. And that's what I've been dragged around to every event with that phone box in my van ever since I got it. I'd be rid of it when I got it done. But
that's how you ended up here today. But you're keeping well.
I am keeping great. Thank you. Thanks
very much. Delighted to hear it. I should say, Mary, I suppose before we let you go, for people listening, just, you know, a reminder that number is 116 123 for anybody that might want to reach out.
And it's a free phone number. And if people are worried about it showing, it doesn't appear on bills and things like that. You know, some people can be quite conscious.
That's
of
a good point to make.
I think they can be conscious of that. I think what Paul was saying earlier, I think sometimes it's easier to maybe for people if they're really struggling to talk to somebody they don't know, because family and friends worry about you even more. Yeah. So I think the 116 123, hopefully people will remember the number, and if they need us, they can call us. And I said, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that's the big thing that we're trying to get across to people, that we are available all the time.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Listen, thanks a million to you both for joining us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Mary McMahon there, as I said, Volunteer Director of Dublin Samaritans, and the phone box man, Paul Murphy. Thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.